I hope this message finds everyone doing well. The only reason we're doing this is because of the COVID outbreak at the congregation. But it is being recorded. While we've been down, Marilyn and I watched a movie titled It's a Great Day in the Neighborhood or something like that about Fred Rogers. And it was based on a story in an Esquire article from 1998 by a man whose name was Tom Junod. The title of the article was Can You Say Hero? Well, I looked up this article and I read the first paragraph and I want to read it to you. It begins, "Once upon a time, a little boy loved a stuffed animal whose name was Old Rabbit. It was so old, in fact, that it was really an unstuffed animal. So old that even back then, with the little boy's brain still nice and fresh, he had no memory of it as young rabbit, or even rabbit. So old that old rabbit was barely a rabbit at all, but rather a greasy hunk of skin without eyes and ears, and a single red stitch where its tongue used to be. The little boy didn't know why he loved Old Rabbit. He just did. And the night he threw it out the car window was the night he learned how to pray. He would grow up to become a great prayer, this little boy, but only intermittently. Only fitfully, praying only when fear and desperation drove him to it. And the night he threw Old Rabbit into the darkness was the night that set that pattern. The night that taught him how. He prayed for Old Rabbit's safe return, and when hours later his mother and father came home with a filthy, precious strip of rabbity roadkill, he learned not only that prayers are sometimes answered, but also the kind of severe effort that they entail. The kind of endless, frantic summoning. And so, when he threw Old Rabbit out the car window the next time, it was gone for good. In 2005 of August, Newsweek and BeliefNet asked 1,004 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. And one of the questions was this: what do you think is the most important purpose of prayer? And here are their answers. 27% said it was to seek the guidance of God. 23% said it was to thank God. 19% said it was to be close to God or the divine. 13% said it was to help others. And 9% said it was to improve a person's life. 4% said it was just some other reason. And 5% said they don't know. So let me ask you, what is the purpose of prayer? You know, maybe this COVID has affected you, and maybe there's been other things that have affected you. We're off to a brand new year, and the year seems to be starting out kind of rocky. So what are your reasons for praying? Do you pray? I hope that you do. If you're listening to this sermon and you're a member of Eastside, I most definitely hope that you're praying. But the question begs to be asked, why do you pray and what is the purpose of your praying? As we look at the answers above, there are a lot of reasons to pray. One way to remember the purpose of prayer is with an acronym. The word ACTS, A-C-T-S. Where the A stands for adoration. The purpose of prayer is to express adoration, and God is certainly worthy of our praise or adoration. And we can sing praise to God in song, and we can also praise God in prayer. Examples of adoration in prayer can be seen when Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He took time also to praise God, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. David provides an example of offering adoration and praise. In 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10, we read, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in earth and in heaven is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we want to thank you and praise your glorious name. But you know, expressing adoration was not one of the responses in the survey. But it is certainly an important purpose of praying. And when we continue with this acronym, the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, the letter C stands for confession. Prayer is a perfect way for us to confess our sins, because there is mercy to be found when we confess our sins. The proverb writer tells us in Proverbs 28 and verse 13 that he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And the Christian certainly enjoys the cleansing of sin, by the blood of Jesus, 1 John 1, verses 7 through 10. And there are some examples of confessing sins. Jesus provided an example in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. I don't know why I like this parable so much, but in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 10, Jesus says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And again, David provides an example of this confession of sin in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 13. So obtaining forgiveness by confessing sins is a blessing that is now enjoyed only through Christ. That's what we read in John 14 and verse 6. And once we have put on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3 and verse 27, then prayer becomes a crucial part to remaining forgiven. Okay, so we go back to our acronym, A-C-T-S. The T stands for thanksgiving. We have to offer thanksgiving, because being thankful is emphasized repeatedly in examples of exhortations to pray. Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 4 and verse 2, he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 and 18, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The antidote for anxiety, for worry, is to pray for everything and to do so with thanksgiving, Philippians 4 and verse 6. So let's look at some examples of offering thanksgiving. Christ is the one who set the example of thanksgiving. In Matthew 11 and verse 25, we read that at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. In Matthew 26 and verse 27, when he was administering the Lord's Supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. In John 6 and verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. In John 11 and verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Daniel was another example of a great prayer, as was his custom to thank God three times a day, according to Daniel 6 and verse 10. And we cannot discount the importance of thanksgiving in our prayers, especially if God has blessed us, and I'm quite positive that He's blessed each and every one of us. Maybe it's recovery from some health issue, or maybe it's the birth of a new child, or I'm certainly going to tell you I've been blessed. You all know the situation with our newest grandson, and I will not argue and say that I haven't been blessed. I believe that God has answered our prayers, and I thank Him, as Jesus said, that He has heard me and that He has heard others as well. But especially if we expect God to answer us as we make our request for future blessings, we cannot discount or take light the importance of thanksgiving when we pray. And this leads us to the final letter, A-C-T-S. The S stands for supplication. Every time we pray, we need to make supplication. We are encouraged to let our request be made known to God. We mentioned Philippians 4 and verse 6 a moment ago, but it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. We are commanded to make supplications for all men. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We have to do this. You know, there are people that, Christians, that I have heard that say, I can't pray for this individual or that president or this president. You are commanded by an inspired writer who is inspired by the Holy Spirit, who revealed God's word to him, that you and I are to pray for all who are in authority, that we may continue to lead quiet and peaceable lives. So if you say that you can't do that, then what do you expect in your quiet and peaceable life, in godliness and reverence? But there are some examples of making supplication. Real widows are known for their supplications both night and day, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 5. Solomon made supplication at the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings 8, verses 28 and 29. Jesus made supplication as he was being crucified, and Stephen also as he was being stoned. Jesus there in Luke's account, chapter 23 and verse 34, and Stephen there in Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60. I believe with the aid of the acronym ACTS, we should never forget the purpose of prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And it's good to understand prayer's purpose, but we also need to appreciate the power of prayer, even to have the privilege of prayer, and understanding the principles of prayer, and making known the persistence of prayer. And then we need to engage in the practice of prayer. Lord willing, we'll try to have another lesson this evening about the power of prayer. And hopefully it will help to boost our understanding about the power of prayer, or reinforce what you already believe about the power of prayer. But I decided to do this lesson because of all we're going through right now, instead of continuing on with the understanding of the Bible and the different translations and whatnot. So maybe when we get back into a public gathering, we can pick those lessons back up. But for now, I pray that everyone is well. And if you're not well, that you're recovering and on the road to recovery. If you need anything, you can contact me or one of the elders, and we'll see what we can do to help you. Thank you, and have a good rest of the day.